All right, Tabose, so let's begin. So I want to share with you what is really just, sticking with that, we should start Purim and figure, you know, we'll do a Mirtz Hashem Purim next week. You know, tonight's Rosh Chodesh, but okay, well, we'll focus a bit on Purim next week. But I want to show you something beautiful that the Rebbe brings down on Likutei Halachos in the beginning of Parashas Pekudei. So the Pasuk begins, the Pasuk that the Rebbe is focusing on is the opening Pasuk in the Parasha. Eile Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEidos, Asher Pukad, Api Moshe, Avodas HaLevim, Beyond Itamar ben Aaron HaKohen. So remember again, the entire essence of Parshas. Wow, incredible. He must have been up all night.
Slaving in the kitchen.
Incredible. So remember again, Parshas Pekudei is all about the accounting of the Mishkan. That's what it's all about. All about the accounting of the Mishkan, the tallying of the various numbers of the Mishkan. So remember again, so that's the Lashon, Eile Pekudes. Even if you look at Unkelus says, Ilan min yone mashkana. These are the minyanim, right? This is the numbers, this is the tally, this is the count. Yona, thank you very much. Mamish, Suda Shalom HaMelech. Beautiful, thank you. So this is the accounting, ultimately again, of the Mishkan, everything that Klal Yisrael collected. And again, of course, subsequently in the parasha, so what do we go through? We go through everything. Mamish, you go through the gold, the silver, the tchelis, the argamon, everything. So what the Rebbe points out to us is something very interesting, which is already the Medrash points it out. The Lashon over here is very interesting. Eile Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEidos. This is the accounting of the Mishkan, Mishkan HaEidos. Literally, again, the Mishkan of the testimony. So look what the Rebbe says in paragraph A. Eile Pekudei HaMishkan. So the Rebbe picks up on the redundancy, which already, again, the Medrash picks up on. Eile Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan. This is the accounting of the Mishkan, the Mishkan. Why the redundancy? Why mention the Mishkan twice? So the Medrash says, Mishkan bivinyano, u'mishkan bichorbano. To teach us that this is the Mishkan ultimately, again, when it's standing, right? This is the Mishkan ultimately when it's built, and this is the Mishkan when it is destroyed. So in other words, the Torah repeats the word Mishkan, Eile Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan, to tell you that there are two states of the Mishkan. State number one is when the Mishkan is standing, the Mishkan is built. And state number two is when the Mishkan is destroyed. The Mishkan is Bichurbano. And the point that the Torah is teaching us is what? That both when the Mishkan is standing, as well as when the Mishkan is not standing, it is still called the Mishkan. Mishkan has this dual identity. Mishkan bivinyano, Mishkan bichurbano. The Mishkan when it's standing, and the Mishkan bichurbano literally means what? Literally means what? When it's destroyed. When it's standing, it's the Mishkan. When it's destroyed, it's the Mishkan.
Is there a relation to the two
basements? So good. So that's definitely there. Absolutely. And the Rebbe is going to build on that idea. So watch this. He writes, Bebechinas, Matovu ohalecha Yaakov, Mishkinosech Yisrael. As you remember again, the beautiful bracha that Bilam gives to Klali. So it didn't intend it to be a bracha, or he didn't intend for a bracha, but it turned out to be a beautiful bracha. What do we say? Matovu ohalecha Yaakov. How good are your tents, Yaakov? Mishkinosecha Yisrael. Literally again, our boss say Mishkinosecha is also plural. Your Mishkans Yisrael. Your tents are good. Your Mishkans are good. So what's the pshat Mishkans plural? Again, says the Medrash. Radash Rabbeinu Zal. Even when the Mishkan is in a state of destruction, it still protects the Klal. The Mishkan always protects the Klal. If the Mishkan's standing, the Mishkan's destroyed, the Mishkan protects the Klal. So what does that mean, says the Rebbe? So Rabbi Nachman really takes this idea, we'll say, in an incredible idea, because generally, and as Bennett just mentioned, whatever we speak about for the Mishkan is true for the Beis HaMikdash as well. Now, we normally assume that the impact of the Beis HaMikdash is only when it's standing, right? The impact of the Beis HaMikdash is not when it's in a state of disrepair, in a state of destruction. Yet, what the Rebbe is telling us is, Eile Pekudei HaMishkan Mishkan, Matovu Ohalecha Yaakov Mishkin Osecha, plural, Yisrael, teaches me that what? When the Mishkan is standing, and when the Mishkan is destroyed, in all states, the Mishkan protects Klal Yisrael. So what's the pshat, says the Rebbe? Paragraph B. U'bishvil zeh, hikimu es ha-mishkan b'chol pam, u'perkuhu ba'atzmon, v'nosu imo mimakom l'makom b'midbar choshech v'afilo, mekom nachash, saraf v'akrav. So we'll say, the Rebbe points out something very interesting. You know, the whole dynamic of the Mishkan is that it is a portable structure. Right? Look at the wording of the Rebbe. Therefore, again, Klal Yisrael put up the Mishkan, and they deconstructed the Mishkan, and they did this all by themselves. They put up the Mishkan, and says, well, right, you would think, what did Klal Yisrael do to put up the Mishkan, take down the Mishkan? What would you do? You hire a guy. Right? To have a guy. Right? To have a guy that could do that. Right? If I need a guy, I'll call Yonah. He always gives me a guy. Right? This guy is a guy. Right? Jews don't do this kind of stuff. So we get, what? I'm sorry? No, you see that guy. You see him. Right? After next time you need something, he's there. And you know, I'll say, but this is the amazing part. When it comes to the Mishkan, we were putting it up, we were taking it down. In other words, there was no guy. We were the guy. So the Rebbe says something amazing. And what did we do? So the Mishkan would stand, then we'd take down the Mishkan. And what we do when we took down the Mishkan? We would transport it. Where would we transport it? V'nasi imo, mimakom lamakom, b'midbar choshech va'afela. We would transport that Mishkan where? Throughout the desert. The dark, dangerous desert. Mikom nachash saraf va'akrov. A place ultimately again of snakes, of scorpions, of serpents. Va'acharkach chazur v'kimua. And then what happens? We would put it back up. So the story that we'll say of the Mishkan is, we would put up the Mishkan, we would deconstruct the Mishkan, we would carry the Mishkan in pieces throughout the dangerous desert, and then we'd put it back up somewhere else. Lohoros. So of course, by the way, if you think about this, just the profound message in the Mishkan, even before we go into Rabbi Nachman's inside, the profound message in this is this incredible yisod of the versatility of the Jew, that we could be rooted in one place, but then when circumstances are such that we need to deconstruct that which we built, move it across deserts, move it across oceans, and reconstruct it somewhere else, that's the koach of the Jew. We have the ability to construct, to deconstruct, and to reconstruct. That's our koach. And even if we have to travel across vast and dangerous deserts, we have the ability to do so. But the Rebbe says something else. Lahoros ledoros. This is to teach us. Shafilu kisha mishkan yeh nifrak. V'charuv yagin aleihem. See, here's what's interesting to note. Think about this just a moment. Klal Yisrael is traveling through the desert. We deconstructed the Mishkan. What happens when you deconstruct the Mishkan? We travel with it. See, Rebbe say, even when the Mishkan was deconstructed, right, and sitting there in pieces, it was still a Mishkan. Even when it was deconstructed and sitting there in pieces, it was still a Mishkan. Isn't that incredible? In other words, the identity of the Mishkan Rabbi Yossi is not only when it's standing. The identity of the Mishkan is even when it's in pieces. Even when it's disassembled. The Rebbe says, that's a metaphor. Lahoros Lador teaches for all generations. Shafidu kesha mishkan yihya nifrak v'charuv yagin aleim. That even when the Mishkan is in a state of disrepair and disassembled, it will still watch over us. It will still guard us. So listen to this incredible idea. The same way says the Rebbe. So what does it mean? What is it teaching us? That even when the Mishkan is in a state of disrepair, even when it's deconstructed, it's still a Mishkan. And it still protects us. What protected us ultimately again in the desert from all the snakes and scorpions and terrible things? What was it? It was the Mishkan. The Shechina, of course, which was part of the Mishkan. It was the Mishkan, which teaches you what? Says the Rebbe. The Mishkan in a state of deconstruction is the same thing of the Mishkan ultimately again in a state of destruction. And the idea is just as the Mishkan protected us, ultimately when it was deconstructed, traveling in pieces, even the Mishkan in its presently destroyed state, the Beis HaMikdash in its presently destroyed state, protects us as well. And it protects us even if you have to travel across the desert. And even if you have to travel across the snakes and the scorpions. Even if you have to travel through Choshech, Tzal Maves, Afilu Kisha Ovrim, Chas V'Shalom B'Makom, Nachash, Saraf, Paragraph D, V'Akra V'Tzima On. So both say the same way that the Mishkan in a deconstructed state protected us in the desert, so to the Mishkan in its destroyed state, the Beis HaMikdash in its destroyed state, if you connect yourself to it to this very day, protects you as you have to go through the dangerous deserts of life. Paragraph D. Shebechol mekom oseilu behechrach shiavra bahem harotze lageshes ala kodesh befrat mishenichshal kvar b'mashenichshal verotze lashuv shebechrach shiavra be'ilam mekomos bebechinas ma'ashem rabbeinu al ma'amar zah. We're not going to get into this now. Bekulam yatzilim Hashem ayde tokef harotzon dikdusha shiiske. So what says the Rebbe, something absolutely amazing. What is the Torah Kedosha teaching us? Torah is telling us, Eile pekudi ha-mishkan, mishkan. There are two mishkans. You'll say, what are the two mishkans? There's the mishkan bivinyana, and mishkan bichurbana. There's the mishkan when it's built, and there's the mishkan when it is deconstructed. And both of those mishkans serve the purposes of Klal Yisrael. When the mishkan is standing, the Shechina is there, protects us. But the chiddush is, even when the mishkan is deconstructed, traveling with us through the desert, it protects us as well. To take that a step further, says the Rebbe, even when the Mishkan is deconstructed, with a capital Dalid, right? Deconstructed in that it's destroyed. Bichur Bano. You still have the ability to attach yourself to the Mishkan, to the Beis HaMikdash. And if you attach yourself to that Mishkan, then it has the ability to shield you and to protect you, even in the most dangerous deserts of life. So the Rebbe is highlighting to us, as the Rebbe will say, you know, we often, all of us, we pine, we yearn, we daven for the third Beis HaMikdash, we daven for Mashiach every single day, we want the Geula. So we think that we don't have a connection to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mishkan, until Mashiach comes in, it's rebuilt. The Rebbe says, not true, not true. The Jew has the ability to have a relationship with the Mishkan, with the Beis HaMikdash, even b'churbana. Even now, I can attach myself to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mishkan. Eile pekudei Mishkan ha-Mishkan. Ultimately, again, I have the ability to connect myself to the Mishkan now, even in a state of destruction. So you say to yourself, ultimately, again, how does a person have the ability to, how do you connect yourself to something that is destroyed? How do you connect yourself to something that is in a state of Churban? So I think what the Rebbe is teaching us is as follows. That how do you connect yourself to the Mishkan? By connecting yourself to the fundamental tenets which made the Mishkan a unique structure. What made the Mishkan unique? Suppose they would suggest, the Rebbe suggests, three fundamental ideas. Number one, it's Achduso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chayei ha'adam. Suppose they, what the Mishkan did is established the centrality of God in our lives. Where was the Mishkan? The Mishkan was in the center of the camp. That location, Abosai, is not by accident, right? That Mishkan ultimately, again, that Mishkan was designed to be placed there in order to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to occupy center stage within our lives. The Ribono Shel Olam has to be the centerpiece of our existence, which means what, Abosai? That everything I do in my life revolves around my ability to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem, which also really links to the Rebbe's third idea, which is Ritzono L'Kayim Es Ratzon Hashem B'chol Makom U'V'chol Matzav. An idea that I have to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem in every circumstance. See, Rebbe saying, when you go through life and you find yourself in a particular circumstance, and sometimes you don't know what to do, so what do you ask yourself? What do you ask yourself? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from me in this circumstance? Right? What? I'm at a crossroads. And often we're at a crossroads. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from me at this crossroads? Where does He want me to go? What does He want me to do? What direction does He want me to take? Rebbe say, when you live your life with that, with the Shechina in the middle, with the Mishkan in the middle, then I'm attaching myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even in the absence of an actual physical Mishkan. Even though the Mishkan is bichurbana, even though the Mishkan ultimately again is in a state of destruction, nevertheless, what? Nevertheless, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a central point in my life, if everything I do revolves around the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when deciding what I want to do with my life, when deciding what I want to do when I grow up, I ask myself, what do I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from me? If that becomes the lodestar, if that becomes the guiding light for how I make my life decisions, then I'm living in the Mishkan. Then the Mishkan is with me ultimately again, even the Churbana. That's really one in three, one in two. And the third thing that Rebbe says is, the power of the Mishkan was that it created an achdus within Klal Yisrael. You know, I often say that one of the most dramatic ideas, one of the most dramatic ideas, I will say, is that there was one Mishkan, right? If you think about this, how amazing it is, right? There wasn't like an Ashkenaz Mishkan, a Sfard Mishkan, a Chassidish, a Litvish, a modern Orthodox, a religious Zionist, right? So you will say, there was one Mishkan. Because the Mishkan taught us that we need to get it together and get along. That we need to figure out how to coexist under one roof. That life is not making about Yiddishkeit in our image, but it's about making ourselves in God's image. There was one Mishkan. And therefore, says the Rebbe, if a person devotes himself to a life of Achdus and Klal Yisrael, I devote myself to a life of bringing myself closer to other Jews and bringing other Jews closer to me, then even when the Mishkan is Bichurbana, nevertheless, the Mishkan is still with me. Even if the physical structure is still in a state of this, even if the physical structure is in a state of destruction, I have the ability to tether myself to it ideologically. I have the ability to tether myself to it spiritually. And if I do that, then the Mishkan travels with me throughout all of my travels in the deserts of life. So we'll say, if we bring this all together. So the Rebbe says again, remember, I just want to point out all of this based on the opening pasuk in the parasha. Eile pekudei ha-mishkan, mishkan ha-idus. Why mishkan? Let's just go through the progression. Why mishkan twice? Rebbe quotes the Medrash. Mishkan bichurbana or bikiyuma, what was his lashon? Bivinyano, mishkan bichurbano. It's a mishkan when it's standing, and it's a mishkan when it's destroyed. Says the Rebbe, the beauty of the mishkan is that it's the mishkan when it's built, and it's the mishkan when it's deconstructed, which tells us an incredible idea. That even if we don't have a mishkan now, we could carry the pieces of the Beis HaMikdash, of the mishkan with us throughout life. And if you carry the pieces of the Beis HaMikdash with you throughout life, they will protect you through the desert of tumultuous circumstances. But how do you keep the pieces of the Beis HaMikdash with you throughout life? By tethering yourself to the core principles of the Mishkan of the Beis HaMikdash. And what were the core principles? There are really two. The Rebbe says that, but there are really two. The two core principles of Mosai is centrality of God in my life. The Ribono Shel has to be the center of my universe. Has to be the center of my existence. Everything I do in life revolves around satisfying my purpose in this world, satisfying my avodah b'Kodesh Baruch Hu, satisfying the need that God has for me to self-actualize. And concept number two, or ideology, idea number two, is Achdus Shel Yisrael. The Mishkan was all about bringing Klal Yisrael together. It's easy to fight. It's easy to have machlokas. And it's okay, I will say, there's room for disagreements. And there's room for machlokas. Right? That's part of our gestalt as well. But I will say, you could disagree, but there could still be achdus. The Mishkan was the glue for Klal Yisrael. Person has to commit themselves to building bridges within Klal Yisrael, to being a glue between Jews. If I tether myself to the ideology of the Mishkan, then I take the pieces of the Mishkan with me. Even if the Mishkan is shattered, even if the Mishkan is destroyed, I take those pieces with me through life. And if I take the pieces with me, they will guard me and watch over me, even in the most dangerous deserts of existence.
Sounds similar to Yerushalayim Shamata.
Shamata, absolutely. Absolutely. Shkach Yonah, shkach, beautiful.